In the name of Jesus, the face of God turned in our direction. Amen. Many years ago, I went to pick up my 4-year-old daughter from her playgroup in southwest Minneapolis, where we lived. She liked going there twice a week, usually with her friend Sarah, but Sarah was homesick today. Arriving promptly at 3 with several other parents, I went into the classroom to get Emily, but looking around, didn't see her. The tightness in my stomach began, and I went to one of the teachers and asked where she was. "Well, she's right here." "Oh, wait." And she started searching the room, looking more and more concerned. Was she supposed to go home with one of her friends? No. She wasn't in the next room or in the hallway. She wasn't outside. Finally, after what was only minutes but seemed much longer, the teacher opened the door of the courtyard adjoining the classroom, and Emily was standing outside the door, nose running, tears streaming down her face. It wasn't a shrieking cry. It was so shrieking crying. It was so quiet, almost silent sobs. Who knows how long she'd been out there? "Oh, thank God," I said, grabbing her, kissing her, my tears blending with hers, carrying her all the way to the car, telling her how much I loved her and how brave she was for waiting patiently at the door. But next time, it would be okay to bang on it. "And then your sister will be home when we get there. Should we get some ice cream and have a little party?" "Okay." Even talking about this some 30 years later, I still feel my shoulders tighten and that fear in the pit of my stomach. That is the vulnerability to which love dooms us all. The incident I just described is also a summary of today's gospel from Luke and its refrain: lost, found, celebrate, repeat. What have you lost that has reduced you to breathless fear until you found it? If you found it, a relationship, a beloved pet, your health, your faith, your innocence. The gospel from Luke is about being lost and being found, about seeking and finding, and the often anxious time in between. Because to be a human being is alternately being a seeker and being the one sought, and to be God is evidently to play the same roles. Puzzling, to be sure. How do we live in the interludes between lost and found, between losing and finding, or not finding, that mark most of our lives? These are the questions before us today. The lesson begins with a search. The tax collectors and sinners are seeking Jesus. Jesus welcomes them and eats with them. This is the reason for the grumbling of the Jewish leaders. These are not bad men, not villains, but they believe in the importance of rules and procedures and the Jewish scriptures. Search, find, celebrate. That's what Jesus does here, in this case with a meal. Meals are a very big deal in this gospel. There's even a book called Eating Your Way Through Luke. Possibly a good present for the rector. So Jesus tells two stories to help the Pharisees and us understand the importance of what can be lost. After losing one of his 100 sheep, a shepherd finds the lamb and tenderly places it on his shoulders, where the sheep's soft fur warm his neck. Then he calls his friends and neighbors to share his relief and his joy. Search, find, celebrate. Next, a woman loses one of her 10 silver coins and sweeps and searches carefully until she finds it. She too calls her neighbors together to celebrate when she finds it. Search, find, celebrate. Now I must pause here and gratefully acknowledge the contributions of the two Bible study groups that have just begun here, who helped me understand these stories. And the next idea is from one of them, a possible explanation for why the woman searched so diligently and urgently for the missing coin. It is that women often wore a headdress of coins on their foreheads or as a necklace, a dowry of sorts. She wore it on her wedding day and thereafter, even while she slept. The coins were an indicator of her financial status and faithfulness to her husband, because if she used a coin for financial reasons not approved by her husband, He could use the missing coin as a reason to divorce her, hence her urgency in finding it. And what about repentance? The lost things, the sheep and the coin, cannot repent. They're things. The word repentance in the New Testament is usually not about regret or guilt or shame, but about making a decision to turn around, to face a new direction, to change. The Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz Weber writes, "Grace isn't about God creating humans and flawed beings and then acting all hurt when we inevitably fail and then stepping in like the hero to grant us grace, like saying, 'Oh, it's okay, I'll be the good guy and forgive you.' It's God saying, 'I love the world too much to let your sin define you and be the final word. I will make all things new.'" Another woman, the Reverend Debbie Thomas, observes that the lamb belongs to the shepherd's flock already, and the coin belonged to the woman before she loses it. Thomas says, "These parables are not about lost outsiders finding salvation and becoming Christians, insiders, the churchgoers, the Bible readers. They are parables about lostness on the inside." She goes on, "Some of us get lost within the very walls of the church. We get lost when our prayer turns to dust in our mouth, when the scriptures we love lie dead on the page, when even the most well-intentioned sermon sucks the oxygen out of our lungs. We can leave hungry, cranky, bewildered, or bored because we're lost. Church is a place where our vulnerability, our sense of loss, surface. Maybe it is the words of the liturgy that pierce our hearts. Maybe it is the music. Maybe it is the sense of sweet, silent support we sense around us. Maybe it is one of the few times that we are quiet and nothing is demanded of us, and the thoughts creep in that are crowded out when we're busy. It has happened to me more than once here when I've experienced a major loss and am afraid. And it can happen anywhere when our best efforts have been misunderstood and criticized, and we feel abandoned. And on 9/11, our country lost a sense of security that has never been regained." One person writes, "If you are powerless or are losing power, or if you live without privilege, or if you have lost something significant in life, lost a loved one, lost an ability, lost being attractive, strong, agile, dexterous, competent, healthy, desirable, then you will hear what Jesus says about the last becoming first, not as an arduous judgment, but as a welcome invitation. In God's eyes, what you have lost does not define who you are." It's more difficult today to get physically lost. I have a GPS, use MapQuest, AAA, have other devices and strategies. I find GPS one of the 10 greatest inventions of all time, right up there with electricity, because I truly do have a negative sense of direction. I can't seem to read maps and no intuitive sense of where things are. So several years ago, I was going to an appointment with my spiritual director, who had recently moved to the Benedictine Center, Benedictine Monastery, on the east side of St. Paul. I got really turned around, had no GPS. The Benedictines weren't answering their phones, and there were no stores or gas stations to stop. Nothing. But I spotted a bar. It was called Slugger's Saloon. It was 3 p.m, but I walked tentatively into the darkness through the cigarette smoke, and two harmless-looking older gentlemen were seated there with their beers. "Hi, honey." "Hi. Okay, I know this is really, really weird, but I'm so lost. I'm trying to find the Benedictine Monastery." "What?" "The Benedictine Monastery. It's a big place, Roman Catholic, maybe a church there, other buildings." "You mean the place with the nuns?" "Yes, yes, the place with the nuns." "It's only a few blocks from here. Just turn right out of the parking lot. Can't miss it." "Thank you so, so much. You look really stressed, honey. Let us buy you a beer." "Nope, gotta go. See ya." although I think I missed out on a pretty interesting conversation. The writer Barbara Brown Taylor says that allowing yourself to get lost, that is to move outside of the boundaries of the known, of your time schedule, of your usual pursuits, can be a spiritual practice. She writes, "When you are lost, you are exquisitely vulnerable to the moment. Your carefully maintained safety net has ripped apart. Your expensive armor has sprung a leak. You are indeed in need of help, and your awareness of that is not a bad thing. Sitting in the wilderness brings you into contact with people you have never met. So if you have trouble welcoming the stranger," she notes, "it's likely you have never been a stranger yourself, or maybe even never left home. And oh, that we could wander again without such fear for our safety, but we have to be sensible about where we go. Like Taylor, I have been lost in countless ways. I set store by getting married and then ended up divorced twice. I cherished health and ended up sick. I wanted to be financially secure and ended up being a teacher and a preacher. Hello. And I have found things, precious things, that I would never have found if the original plans had stayed primly in place. I have been lost a lot, and so far at least, always found. Sometimes so blind that I could only see what I was missing. Until I was helped by encountering the faith of my mothers and the wisdom and kindness of so many in the church." I admire the work of documentary filmmaker Ken Burns and his films about American history. One of his series is about the explorers Lewis and Clark, barely 30-year-old commanders that President Thomas Jefferson tasks with finding a waterway connecting the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. Jefferson said, "However our present interests may restrain us within our own limits, it is impossible not to look forward to distant times." So in 1804, Jefferson sent, with Lewis and Clark, 4 dozen men in 2 oversized canoes up the Missouri River to encounter the new land and the people who lived there. They got lost many times, were rescued by the native inhabitants, and pushed on to the Pacific. For Lewis and Clark, getting lost provided amazing gifts: the discovery of the land, the people who lived there, and undiscovered resources within themselves. Theirs was a journey of biblical proportions, with the accompanying questions and complexities not unlike the smaller journeys we undertake each day of our lives. Burns co-producer Dayton Duncan writes, "They carried the most modern weapons of their time, but in their 2 moments of greatest need, women would intervene in their behalf, and time again, they would be saved by the kindness of strangers. They told people who had been occupying the land for hundreds of generations that the West now belonged to someone else, yet they would meet more friends than enemies and only once fire their guns in anger. They were led by 2 utterly different men who, representing a new nation that celebrated individual achievements, would rely instead on cooperation and teamwork. They called themselves the Corps of Discovery. Yet they would fail to find the thing they had been most sent to discover, the pathway to the Pacific. Their real discovery would be the land itself and the promises it held." We are lost. We're found again and again. Sometimes the pain is severe and the journey almost kills us. We lose, we find, we celebrate. Sometimes it takes a minute, other times a lifetime. But we are called to step off our well-worn paths, the rigid schedules that dictate our days, and encounter whoever and whatever meets us in the unknown, to seek the lost, in the sure and certain hope that God is with us, and when the time is right, God's amazing grace will lead us out of our wilderness and will bring us home. Amen.